Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime. We are back for another week. Awkward intro.
Hey girl, hey, that's what we do. We are awkward.
Awkward. We specialize in that department.
If I could have a buzzard of DJ Polly with me, I'd be awkward.
We should make that. That would be... I feel like that would go viral. People would buy that. But we would probably have to have his, like, sign off on it.
Right, right. So I would buy it. I'd carry it. Everything's been good. I do have a little bit of a complaint because the people, and by the people I mean the weather people and news, told me that it was going to be 86 degrees outside on Tuesday. And I was looking forward to it. And then it rained. I think it got to 70 in the morning. So I'm like, okay. And then it was hot for like 5 minutes. And then I got to my next house and then it thunderstormed. And then the time I was driving home, it dropped down to like 75. And then the time I got home and ate dinner, it dropped down to like 65. And I'm like, it was 80s. Like if it got up to 86, I didn't feel it. But it was only like hot for like literally like 10 minutes that day.
Yeah, it was a very bipolar day, I feel like. There was like a lot of different things going on.
Yeah, so that's kind of my little complaint for this episode. That's my rant.
I agree. Because even yesterday, I think yesterday was like pretty nice. And then today it was like chilly and cold and rainy. And I'm over it.
Yeah, I think it was nice like mid-afternoon. It kind of got chilly pretty quick as the evening went on. I thought I would be done with my fuzzy pants, you know, the ones you really like from Shane.
Yes.
I thought I'd be done with them kind of for the season because they're thicker, but no, I have them on today. And as you can see, I have a thicker lined little sweater jacket on and my windows are closed and I'm bundled up because it's not nice out.
No, I agree. The last 2 days during work for like portions of the time, I was wearing my like big hooded, like blanket hoodie thing that I have. And I'm like, why am I wearing this still?
Yep.
It's officially May, so we are over it.
And I would do the slogan, but we canceled him on our line, so I'm not going to say
it. Yeah, yeah. Well, I have no other crazy, like, or even entertaining updates, really.
We usually do What's Low Reading. Low is still reading Variety by Colleen Hoover. Really liking it. Very good. Very good. It's already getting dark. Excuse me. But then on Audible, I am listening to, for the first time, off one of my classic books, bucket list, checklist, whatever. I'm doing The Portrait of Dorian Gray.
Nice.
And so that's where we're at for What's Low Reading.
How far into that are you?
Not very, because I just started it. Okay. And while I was at a house, and then I came home and I listened to it for a little bit, but then phone calls in the car, so I had to stop. And then whenever Charlotte's in the car, there is no audiobooks. It's whatever music she wants to play. So,
right.
Yep.
You will get there. You will get there. I haven't listened to an audiobook in a while. Been a minute. I haven't really been watching anything.
Sorry.
That's okay. I was going to say, I haven't really been watching anything entertaining except for season 2 of the Gypsy Rose show, but that's literally it.
I'm almost done with White Collar. I don't think I watched anything really new either. I listened to Armchair Expert. I did the anonymous Cedar Point stories.
Ooh.
And I listened to Dove Cameron. She's so cute.
Oh, I know. I know of her. I don't know too much about her.
She was Mal from Descendants. She was Livin' Maddie.
Yeah, those were kind of or after my time on
Okay, it was
Disney, right?
Charlotte's era.
So,
That's why I know Liv and Maddie so much.
yeah.
And I mean, it was kind of cute. And then I was like an idiot because it took me like all of season one to realize it was one girl playing both parts. I thought they were twins. I
You're
mean,
like, they're not twins. They only have the fortune to
literally.
pay one of them.
Yeah. But she's got new music coming out, and I think she promoted a new movie or series or something. I think that she was and she was just talking about how it was hard. You know, she's like, you think it's, you know, you do a movie and then do a music album, but they're both time consuming and it sucks because they you have to be committed to both.
Oh, yeah, I
But
forgot she does music too.
yeah, but she was cute to listen to. She seems like she's kind of a little bit of an introvert, very, very warm, like giving person, like very nice, very caring about others, you know.
Yeah.
So that was kind of
Yeah,
cool
I'll
to
have to
hear.
listen to that one, but I definitely want to listen to the anonymous Cedar Point one because Cedar Point, love me a good Cedar Point trip. Haven't been there in like 2 years. Actually, I don't even know if I would like it anymore, to be completely honest. I feel like I used to love it, and now it kind of freaks me out. So I'm like, will I ever go back?
I don't know if I can do the roller coasters anymore. I'm wondering if I peaked to that age of, but I was listening to Cedar Point Stories, and one of the girls says there's patches that you can put behind your ears and it stops you from
Oh,
getting motion
really?
sickness. Yeah.
Huh. I've heard of like one of my aunts wore like a bracelet thing, so it must be like a similar
Yeah, or you can take
something that.
Dramamine. There's pills you can take,
Oh,
like,
yeah.
so I don't know. But like I said, I haven't been there in a very long time, so.
I think the last time I was there was like 4 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, something like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's been a minute, so I don't know. The idea of it kind of freaks me out now because I've seen way too many like ride malfunction videos within the past like even year. And I'm like, that is kind of a scary thing. Yeah, other than that, nothing too much. I did see I was gonna talk about, did you watch the, I'm sure you did, I can't remember, the Jeffrey Epstein documentary thing when it came out, I think like 2 years ago or something, two or
Yeah,
three years ago.
I listened to the podcast on Wondery. They did it first.
Okay. Do you remember the girl Virginia Guffrey? She was the blonde. She was like their assistant, like 16-year-old that was with them for a while. She was the one that like
Was she
said
like the
that Prince.
first one that was kind of like started the pyramid scheme?
Not the first, but she was really prominent. Like she was with them for a while. She was like the one that said Prince Andrew like assaulted her and stuff.
Okay, maybe. But anyways, what about her?
So she was in the news this week. She actually died. She was 41 years old and she committed suicide. So I kind of like got a little blimp of it from TMZ, which is where I saw it come out. So yeah, she, publicly accused Jeffrey Epstein and Prince Andrew both of sexual abuse. Apparently, the Western Australia Police Force said officers responded to a call last Friday at 9:50 p.m. after she was located unresponsive at a house in Nyirrbarra, which again is in Australia. But they gave her like first aid, but she, I guess, couldn't be revived, and she was pronounced dead at the scene. Since it's so new, an investigation is kind of going on still, but police note that circumstances are not suspicious, which is immediately where my mind went when I read the headlines. I'm like, did she really like commit suicide, or is this like a setup thing? Because, she like was so public for, the recent years and like coming out against these like two I mean, really essentially three big people, and she was like their assistant or whatever. So she saw so many other like powerful men in those like areas. So I'm like, did someone like set this up to like take her down, to like keep her mouth shut? But I don't know. Police said that it did not seem suspicious, so they think that it was an actual suicide.
She probably was just riddled with guilt of what she knew.
Well, I guess so. Her family like announced also that she took her own life in a statement to People magazine on Friday. You know, they praised her as a, quote, fierce warrior in the fight against sexual abuse and sex trafficking. And her lawyer, Sigrid McCauley, says that her dear friend was fearless, adding her sunny strength was contagious and her smile spread hope to so many. But yeah, she was one of the first people to come forward with abuse allegations against Epstein. You know, she claimed that she was just 16 years old when Ghislaine recruited her into the whole complex trafficking ring that they had. You know, she said that she was forced to have sex with Epstein and others, including Prince Andrew. But yeah, and she sued him for allegedly having sex with her three times when she was a minor. But she was apparently, I guess, in the news weeks ago, like right before her death, claiming that she had just 4 days to live following a brutal car accident. I don't know. At the time, she said she was, quote, ready to pass on, but wanted to see her kids. And in the family statement, they said that she decided to fight back against her abusers after she gave birth to her daughter. She has three children, Christian, Noah, and Emily. But yeah, I guess she ended up taking her own life after she got into this car accident. So I don't know if like something was affecting her mentally. I mean, obviously, but like she thought she was going to die anyways. Again, they're still doing the full investigation of everything because it did just happen. But yeah, I thought that was sad. Because, yeah, at first I was like, oh, I feel like this is set up. But if she was, like, online posting all that, then it kind of makes it feel like, you know, like she actually did.
Yeah, no, I do feel terrible. And even though she did come forward and she did speak up, she probably saw a lot, knew a lot. Maybe she lived in fear all the time from knowing. I mean,
oh yeah, Andrew, probably.
I mean, he's high up there. He knows people, you know what I mean? Like, right. Obviously Epstein, you know, he's gone, but the chick is she in prison or is she out?
I don't think she's in prison,
but they found her, right? Didn't they? And they're like investigating her and.
Yeah, because I know she like fled to like a different country. I don't know exactly where she's currently at. She should be in prison, but I think she like wormed her way out of it. Let's see. I'll look it up. Her name is so hard to spell.
Ghislaine. Yeah.
Maxwell now.
Oh, she says she's sentenced 20 years in prison.
Oh, good. Goodbye.
So she is in prison. And for some reason, I thought that they found her and got her. It doesn't mean that she doesn't know people from behind bars, you know?
Oh, yeah, because people set people up all the time. Especially, yeah, like she saw so many. Like I remember her saying in the documentary, because she was with them for a while, I think a few years. So she saw like a lot of very well-known and powerful people. So like, I'm sure she lived in, I hope not, but I mean, it wouldn't be hard to imagine if she lived in some type of fear.
Yeah. Or maybe she just had the fear that one day she'd have to testify and she didn't want to, you know?
Yeah.
I know. It's sad. It's sad. You try to do the right thing and it sometimes just never is enough.
Yeah. Stupid world.
Well, I blame Epstein because him and what's her name? Jesline, whatever the fuck her name is.
Yeah, whatever the fuck her name is. I can't stand her.
I blame them. They're the one that ruined everybody's life. So
they're so gross.
Gross, disgusting people. So
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that she's in prison because that's where she really deserves to be for a long ass time. So that's nice to know. I thought she was out and about free, and I thought she like wormed her way out of it. So I'm glad my night.
She was on the run for a while. Like they couldn't find her. Like,
yeah,
pretty much after the Wondery documentary came out, she was like ghost. And then I thought I remembered it was something that they caught up with her. They found her. They did something. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad. That makes me happy. I feel like this whole episode will be kind of sad stories because this whole like theme of this episode, I have two stories of baby napping. And like I said to Lo earlier, not the good kind of napping. So the first one is going to be about the kidnapping of Carlina White, which this has a Lifetime movie on it. I have not watched it, but I kind of want to watch it now. Basically, this was like one of the first major baby kidnapping stories from like the hospital or whatever back in like the 80s, I think. Carlina Renee White, she was born July 15th, 1987. She's also known as Nedra or Nettie Nancy. She is a woman from America who solved her own kidnapping case and was reunited with her biological parents 23 years after being abducted as an infant from the Harlem Hospital Center in New York City. It's like you see those movies where people like, you know, they find their picture on like the milk carton case or whatever. And it's like, it's so crazy that that actually has happened.
Oh, I know. Like, and how, you know what I mean? Like, it's a hospital. You think your baby is safe.
Oh, yeah. I feel like especially nowadays, it's way harder to like try and do something like this. But I guess if you're just like sneaky enough back then, but still.
That's well, now Charlotte was born 16 years ago. And even then, before we got discharged, they had to come and take like a thing they had around her leg that would beep if she left the hospital.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So they had, she was kind of hardwired in, you know, to the hospital pretty much.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So if that was just even 16 years ago, I'm sure even now it's like way more advanced, like locked in or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, this case represents one of the longest gaps in abduction in where the victim was eventually reunited with her family. So for years, she lived with a woman named Anugueta Petway, who she for this whole time thought was her mother. However, she later discovered that Petway was actually her kidnapper. So a little background. Anugueta Petway, she had a very abusive upbringing herself. Her mother often would beat her with belts and extension cords. And, you know, I'm sure that takes a lot of mental toll on somebody. And she also, when she got older, she experienced having multiple miscarriages herself. So I'm sure the abusive upbringing and then the trauma of like multiple miscarriages probably just made her kind of snap. And I'm not excusing what she did, but it kind of just paints a picture of maybe why she was thinking this way. But after she had all those miscarriages, that's when she like got this idea in her brain and was very motivated to commit a kidnapping out of desire for having a baby. She also spent several weeks in jail in Connecticut as a teenager in 1977 after being charged with larceny. So she definitely didn't have like a squeaky clean background, but again, she did grow up in not a nice household as well. So Carlina was 19 days old when her parents, Joy White and Carl Tyson, took her to the hospital with a fever of 104 degrees Fahrenheit on August 4th, 1987. I guess she had swallowed fluid during her delivery, and then that kind of caused like an infection in her body. So they took her back to the hospital.
Oh, poor baby.
I know. And a woman reportedly dressed as a nurse had been comforting the parents at the hospital, but she was not actually a nurse at the hospital. She was not an employee at all. The woman had been seen around the hospital for 3 weeks prior to the abduction. So it was like almost she was scoping out, you know, she probably was scoping out like the security, who was all there, what options of like babies she had to take. And she was probably just waiting for like the perfect moment. So the baby disappeared during the early morning around 2 a.m. when the shifts were changing. So the hospital had video surveillance, but at the time it was not working. Of course, you know, coincidentally. So there was no way of knowing what the woman in white looked like except for the description that was given by the baby's parents, Joy and Carl. And like the baby was sick. So I'm like, you're going to take a sick baby from the hospital when it's still like recovering. You know, the baby had been receiving antibiotics at the time through like IVs or whatever. Between 2:30 a.m. and 3:55 a.m., someone removed the IV line from the baby and abducted her. A guard said that a woman matching the suspect's description left the hospital at 3:30 a.m. and that no infant was visible, although the baby could have been concealed in the heavyset woman's smock. So clearly, she takes this sick baby who already has a fever and then like shoves her under her thick smock to like make it so hidden that like the security guard didn't even see a baby. I just feel so terrible. That baby probably was probably under so much stress and felt like terrible.
I'm surprised the baby wasn't crying to where no one could hear it.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, this case was the first known infant abduction from a New York hospital ever. So Carlina Renee White, supposed to be her name, was raised as Nedra or Nettie Nancy by Anguetta. She was raised in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which was just 45 miles from where her parents had lived, which is so crazy. And Anguetta, you know, made it a habit and committed petty crimes all the time during Carlina's upbringing. She was placed on probation at least 3 separate times in Connecticut. She also pleaded guilty to embezzlement for stealing cash and clothing from the Hudson Belk, where she actually worked in North Carolina at the time. And while Carlina was attending Thomas Hooker School, she graduated from Warren Harding High School in Bridgeport in 2005. And her mom later moved to Atlanta, Georgia. So they were kind of all over the place, basically. Carlina grew suspicious during her teenage years that Petway was not her biological mother because of her inability to provide a birth certificate. So, you know, which is interesting because she probably already had, like, suspicions because I've never, like, when I was a teenager, I don't think I ever asked to like look at my birth certificate, but maybe you would. I don't know. Maybe she was like thinking about getting jobs or like if she was thinking about her driver's license or something, maybe something sparked the birth certificate idea or whatever. But yeah, she could never show it for proof, which again made me think like when you enroll in school, I don't know because I've never like, enrolled myself in like elementary school or whatever, do you have to provide a birth certificate or no?
For which, for
to be for like any school? Like yeah, like for
yeah,
like
even school. When we moved from even moving from Waterford to Oxford, I had to reprovide birth certificates again to new school.
Yeah, so
districts.
I'm like, how did she get away with this then?
And
it's
I
so
you
weird.
Have to prove it to enroll them in school because you got to prove their age because you have to be born by a certain age and time.
Okay.
To start, like. Yeah, yeah, I have so to, it's like, I had to prove that Charlotte was this age and was old enough to be a kindergartner. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well,
and usually so you I have guess, to prove vaccines. Usually you have to prove a lot of shit. Like,
right. I mean, I guess like what she did, but I feel like I don't know how. I guess the times were different or whatever, because like everything's electronic now. So I guess back then, how she kind of went about it makes sense. So basically, in 2005, when Carlina was pregnant with her daughter, she requested that her mom, you know, her fake mom, obtain her birth certificate so she could get health insurance. So she acquired forged Connecticut birth certificate, which Carlina attempted to use as proof of identity so she could obtain the health insurance, but officials told her the document was forged. So I'm wondering if maybe she like used forged documents to get her in schools before and it just worked. But of course, this time it did not work when she was trying to get health insurance for herself.
Yeah, definitely first big red flag. So
yeah, like it is interesting because if she was already thinking like, she felt like that wasn't her real mom. And then she asks for birth certificate. And then like officials tell her that it's forged. That would definitely have alarms ringing in my head.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure.
So she was definitely, you know, in a state of shock when this happened. And she confronted Petway and, you know, basically it was like, what the heck is going on? Why was this forged? And Petway broke down and confessed that she was not Carlina's biological mother. And like this confession really wasn't that surprising to Carlina because she started noticing years before that she just didn't share a lot of physical traits at all with Petway. You know, that would be like the first thing, like, I don't look anything like my mom. Like, shouldn't I look somewhat like her?
Yeah, and a lot of times, too, if you have, you know, natural talent or abilities or interests and they're totally opposite of your mom, you're going to be like, we don't have, you know, is there anything in common? Anything that you passed right. down to me? You know, like.
Yeah, like, so, you know, those alarms were definitely going off in her head earlier. So when she told her this, it wasn't like too much of a surprise. But, you know, she didn't say like, oh, I stole you from the hospital. She made up a lie and told Carlina that she had been abandoned by some drug addict. So, yeah, she made up this other fabricated story to kind of cover her ass and probably make her look like a hero of some sort, you know?
Oh, of course.
But when Carlina was 23, she went on different websites. She used the one National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, where she found the images of this baby looked like infant photos of herself. And even those of her own daughter. Her name was Samani. So she's like, this baby looks like what I looked like as a baby. And she also looks a lot like my daughter, too. So, obviously, already knowing that her mom is not her mom, and her mom also, like, you know, did all these petty crimes and wasn't, like, the best person, and also forged her birth certificate, she was like, all right, I need to figure this out. So, she called the center's hotline, and she was able to contact her birth family. They did, like, the whole DNA thing, and it confirmed in January of 2011 that she was that missing baby named Carlina White.
Oh, wow. Can you imagine, like, getting that confirmation? And then knowing you have to go tell your fake mom, which is your only mom, so it's your mom. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Bitch, I know. Like, tell me the truth. Like, right now, what is happening?
That would be so insane. Like, that's truly living in a movie. So in 1987, New York City Police Department detectives questioned a woman in Baltimore who witnesses had identified has been having seen in the hospital without any, like, result. And after the confirmation that Nettie was really Carlina, the Federal Bureau of Investigation began a search for Ann Pettway. Now, this is what's kind of weird to me. The statute of limitations for the state kidnapping law had expired in New York, which is like, I feel like there shouldn't be a statute of limitations for kidnapping, right?
Right.
That's just weird to me. But of course, you know, there's no statute of limitations for the federal law on kidnapping, so they still got her there. So an arrest warrant for Ann Pettway was issued by the North Carolina Department of Correction on January 21st, 2011, for violating her probation from a conviction that she previously had for attempted embezzlement. And Carlina stated, "I just hope that the officials are able to get her in their hands so we can just hear her side of the story now." And Ann Pettway actually turned herself in to the FBI office at Bridgeport on the morning of January 23rd, 2011. She drove from North Carolina all the way to Connecticut to arrange care for her biological son. And she told federal investigators that she kidnapped Carlina after enduring several miscarriages because the stress over whether or not she was ever to be a parent. Which, like, that's sad, and I get that that's such a sad feeling, but, like, don't steal someone else's baby.
No kidding. You just totally shattered a different family.
Right. Like, so wild. She didn't enter a plea at her arraignment at the U.S. District Court for Southern New York in Manhattan, where she faced between 20 years and life in prison for kidnapping. And finally, on February 17th, 2011, a federal grand jury indicted Pettway on the kidnapping charge. So she pled guilty to a federal kidnapping charge. And as part of a plea bargain that she took, prosecutors agreed to recommend the judge a prison sentence of 10 to 12 and a half years. Which doesn't seem like long at all.
I think she should have got every year. So
23 years, yeah.
Yeah, she should have got 23 years, one for every year that that family missed out with her daughter.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the following year in July, Judge Kevin Castle sentenced Pettway, who was then 50 years old, to the 12 years in prison. So her lawyers had asked for leniency, saying that she had been severely depressed after suffering from multiple miscarriages and stillbirths. And so basically, like, her defendant or her lawyers on the defense were saying she was just so mentally distraught that she acted because of that. However, the judge said that she was selfish and inflicted a parent's worst nightmare on a couple, which is 100% true. And Carlina White's real father said that he thought the sentence was too lenient and that Pettway should have received the amount of time she had kept his daughter, 23 years. So I feel like a lot of people probably felt that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And during the hearing, she did apologize. She said, "I would like to apologize to the family. It may be rejected, but I am deeply sorry for what I've done. If they don't accept it, it's understandable. I'm here to right my wrong." Which, like, I just feel like that's, like, a lame apology. like so short and like not sincere sounding, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like it should have been a little bit more detailed, a little bit more personal. You know, I'm sorry for wrecking your life. I'm sorry for everything you went through. I'm sorry for all the birthdays you missed and Christmases you missed. And like, you know, put a little bit of a tear
look
into
it. That just came to your head and she had a year and a half to think about what she was going to say. And that's all she came up with. I'm like, are you kidding?
Because she probably was more trying to play the victim card. I had miscarriages and I couldn't have a baby, which is very sad and that is heartbreaking, but go to an adoption center and put in the proper steps. Don't just go and take someone else's, because that's worse than a miscarriage, because she had a baby, loved her baby for 10 days, and then you took it.
Yep.
So, I mean, not that a miscarriage isn't sad. It is terrible and heartbreaking, but to have the baby in your arms and then ripped from you has got to be worse. Like,
yeah. And then to like sit there for 23 years and not know what even happened, or like if they're alive, and oh, that's terrible. But isn't it crazy? So she already served her sentence in the Federal Correctional Institute in Alabama, and she was released on April 14th, 2021. So she's been out for like 4 years now.
I wonder if they have any communication with each other.
Well, so upon being reunited with her biological parents, Carlina's attorney advised her to ask them about the cash settlement from the hospital, because I guess Joy and Carl both confirmed that most of the money had been spent during the years before they had, you know, found out that she was alive and everything. And, you know, a trust fund had been established. It was obtainable only if Carlina had been found before the age of 21, I guess, which is like, dude, by 2 years. And Joy White later stated that there had been a falling out over the issue of money. So, yeah, they're not close, which is sad.
Her biological parents and her?
Yeah, due to, like, money situations.
Which I don't understand.
Well, that's how it was for quite a few years, because, like, she had met them in 2011. And, you know, by the following year, I guess she had became estranged from them. However, now she has been in contact with them. She contacted them individually, and she's had a bit more time to process the situation. She later publicly stated that the issue over settlement funds was just a misunderstanding. So I guess they're on like a better road and having like a better relationship now. So she continues to kind of have a relationship with them at this point. But kind of when it first all happened, they were estranged and they were not on talking terms or anything like that due to like the money situation. But it's like, how are they going to know? You were gone for 23 years. Like, life happens. People need money. Well, that's like
kind of what I'm thinking. Like, you would think the focus would be on getting my biological family. Like, you guys are my reward, my mom, my dad. Like, that should be what I want from you, getting to know you, a relationship with you. Or the money should have been like, whatever. I'm 23. I'm not, you know, 15 who needs help in life. I mean, she might still need help in life. People need help. But you know what I'm saying? She's 23. Her life is kind of established. You know, whether it's college or working or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I wonder if
it's like, because clearly she grew up with like a mom who like committed a bunch of crimes and stuff. So maybe like what felt important to her was money. But like it probably took her longer to realize like, no, I actually kind of want a relationship with my parents. But yeah, so they were estranged for a bit, but they are closer now.
That all seems kind of weird. Like, and you have to think they probably feel sad on the biological parents too, because then you got to be like, is that why you found us? Because you wanted to see if we had money? Like,
right.
Or that, did you find me also because, like, of me? Like, did you want to know me? I am your mom. You know what I mean? Like, so I got to feel like everybody's feelings were so high, emotions. And
oh, yeah. I mean, because that's just like such a crazy, stressful situation as it is. And then, you know, you throw money into things and people go nuts about money. So like money ruins so many relationships. So it's just like, I don't know. It's sad that it took a while, but I'm glad that they're like in a better place now. So like Carlina White was her legal name that she was born with, obviously. But she says that she continues to go by Nettie in public just because that's the name she grew up with. Everybody called her that. So it would be weird to be like, oh no, my name's Carlina now. Technically it wasn't her name given to her by the woman who raised her. It was just like the nickname that she gave herself, you know, off of like the name that her fake mom gave her. But yeah, I would think it would be weird if she like changed her name at like, you know, 24 years old, being like, yeah, now my name's Carlina. I know it's not my name at all, but
yeah.
But yeah, in 2014, she spoke at the Crimes Against Children Conference, which is the leading national training event for law enforcement professionals working to combat child victimization. And ever since 2014, she, I guess, is continuing to have a relationship with her biological parents. I don't know how close they are. You know, they might just like talk here and there. Because that is weird. Like, she didn't grow up with them, or like she doesn't know them. But I'm sure they have some sort of like rapport occasionally where they keep in touch.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the first major baby napping case.
I wonder if she still talks to the fake mom.
Probably not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know like exactly how their relationship was, like if they were close. It doesn't seem like it because she seemed very sketched out by her, like most of her teenage years into her adult years.
I just wonder because, I mean, at the end of the day, that is kind of the only mom she knew, sadly. Right.
So, yeah.
You know, I don't know if she would over time, like, still try to, you know, check in on her. But then again, she was in prison for 10 years. So I don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah. Apparently there's a Lifetime movie with it. I think Kiki Palmer plays her.
Okay.
So check that out if you're interested. But yeah, that was crazy. And definitely not the only one. So the next one that I kind of threw in here, and I'm so sorry if I say her name incorrectly, but this is the kidnapping of Kamaya Mobley. So Kamaya Teresa Tasha Mobley was her full name. She was abducted from a Florida hospital on July 10th, 1998. And she was only 8 hours old. And in January 2017, she was found alive in Walterboro, South Carolina. And DNA testing proved that she was not the daughter of her abductor, Gloria Williams. So she had been raised under the name Alexis Kelly Meningo. Her biological mother was in Florida, and her name was Shanara Mobley. She was awarded $1.5 million after settling a lawsuit against the former University Medical Center, and since then she has had three other children. Which, like, good. She should get, like, millions of dollars for her baby being stolen there.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And she was just 16 years old at the time that she had the baby. So Kamaya was born on July 10th, 1998. And like I said, she was abducted 8 hours after the birth by another woman impersonating a nurse. watch your nurses, people. I'd be like, where's your badge? Let me see this. She, again, this woman was dressed in hospital wear. She entered the room. She, like, was helping, assisting, and talking with, like, the mother. Later, she walked out of the room with Kamaya in her arms, you know, probably just being like, oh, I'm going to take her to, like, do medical stuff or whatever. Now, employees initially believed that the woman who kidnapped Kamaya was a member of the Mobley family, but Shannara was interviewed later and, you know, pleading for the return of her daughter, and it was not obviously a family members of her who took her. They said at the time that the abductor was believed to be between 25 and 35 years old, possibly wore a pair of glasses and a wig. She was dressed in a floral blue smock and green scrub pants. And now, after, like, everything came out, it was known that Gloria Williams, the abductor, she was about 33 years old at the time. She later forged documents to create a new identity for the baby. And Williams was in an abusive relationship and just had miscarried a child a week before, which is believed to be her motive for the abduction. So this whole all is very similar to the previous story. The case made national headlines in 2017 after new tips led investigators to South Carolina. So there were no pictures taken of Kamaya before her abduction. I mean, obviously, because she was only 8 hours old. So, like, and, like, it was the 90s. So I don't know. People didn't just have their cell phones right there. But a computer-generated composite of her was created to send out throughout all the media. And, like, distinctive features such as Mongolian spots and an umbilical hernia were also included in the reports that they made. And she was swabbed and had a DNA sample taken after she was born. And it was matched to a swab taken from the potential match. After the match was confirmed, Mobley was described as in good health but overwhelmed. She had been living in South Carolina under the name Alexis Manigo, and she graduated from high school. She, you know, was raised the whole time with Gloria Williams, the one who abducted her. She definitely did not adopt her. And Williams had two other kids after that happened. So she had, like, these siblings that she thought were her full siblings. But in 2015, she became super suspicious because she was trying to apply for a job where she needed her social security card and birth certificate, and her mom was just refusing to give it to her. So she connected with her biological father and grandmother over FaceTime and planned to reunite with other family members in person after she found this all out. I guess her biological father had been incarcerated at the time of her birth for, like, drug possession. And because he was 19 while her mom, Shannara, was 15 at the time of her conception. So that's also why he was in prison. And Williams was arrested in South Carolina and extradited to Florida, where she was charged with kidnapping and interfering with custody. She had a prior history with law enforcement also, having previously been charged with check and welfare fraud. Now, Mobley described Williams as, quote, no felon, and insisted that she raised her with, quote, everything that she needed. So it sounds like they were kind of close and, like, had a good relationship. But in 2018, Williams did plead guilty to kidnapping. She admitted that she acted alone. On June 8th, 2018, she was sentenced to 18 years in prison for the kidnapping of Mobley, who she does still communicate with Williams and refers to her as her mother. So that's kind of sad that, like, the one that actually was probably, like, a good mother to her because they had a good relationship got more time in prison than the other one. But in March of 2022, she was also denied a motion to reduce her sentence to 9 years. So she's still at the full 18 years. The plea included a handwritten letter from Mobley in support of the motion stating, "I would like to make it very clear that she is my mother." I guess Williams is getting her master's degree in business administration and completing community service while she's serving out her sentence at the Hernando Correctional Institution. She is scheduled to be released in July of 2034. So she's still got quite a bit of time in there. But yeah, this one is different, definitely, because it sounds like, again, not justifying her stealing a baby at all. But it sounds like she actually was a good mother to her, at least. So at least they, like, she was raised well or whatever, I guess, and is still close to her. But that would be super weird, like, to know that she kidnapped you.
Yeah, like, first of all, birth certificates, they seem to get you. So, I mean, there's that. Yeah. Secondly, if she went on to have other kids, obviously she could conceive. So I don't understand why she would have kidnapped somebody else's baby.
Right. Like, I don't know if she was just, like, in, like, a mental state of, like, panic or something, and it caused her to, like, do something so stupid and crazy. But, like, yeah, clearly she could have other kids, so. And even with the Carlina story before this, her abductor had other kids afterwards as well. So it goes to show, it's like, oh my gosh, like, you never know. You might have, like, all these miscarriages, but, like, you could.
Uh-oh. Well, I think we lost KK. Give us a few minutes for this technical problem. We'll be back right after this moment. Stay tuned.
And we're back. Sorry about that.
Oh my gosh, it's okay. I tried to keep it. No, it's a lie. I didn't try to keep anything.
You played some nice music while I was gone. Yeah, technical difficulties. I could hear you and see you, but I couldn't speak, apparently. So,
yeah, it's, you know, all sad. Now, it sounds like in this case, though, she's defending her mom that kidnapped her.
Oh, yeah. They have a good relationship. Like, they're still close to this day. She's like, that's my mom. So, very different, like, situation.
She's really known, but I'm hoping she took the time to meet her biological mom, too.
Right. Well, she FaceTimed the dad and the grandma, and she was, like, planning on connecting with them. So, I'm sure, like, they've all met and, like, stay in touch and everything, but it sounds like she's much closer still with her mom that raised her.
Maybe the biological mom was like, hey, I got 3 kids. I moved on. I got a family. Maybe she kind of shunned her a little bit. Like, I'm sorry. You know, we grieved you and we're over you, as hard as that sounds, you know?
Right.
I hope that's not the case, but.
I hope she gave her, like, some money too. I mean, whatever, I guess. But, like, because the mom won, like, over $1 million from the hospital.
Yeah, but after 17 years, how much is actually left?
I know. That's so true. It's just like the last case. So, yeah, super similar vibes between these two stories, but.
Well, I hope, you know, like I said, they can all live in harmony.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, although, it sounds like everybody's well at the moment. But took way too long for both cases for like the truth to come out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my baby napping episode.
Okay, well.
Don't ask me how I got to it. I don't even remember how this came to me.
Like I said, hopefully, you know, I know it's a sticky situation, you know. Hopefully she gives the biological mom some kind of chance if the mom wants it.
Right.
But I understand too, being so young. And then, I mean, at the end of the day, if she was treated like a normal mother biological thing, you know, you had the good memories, the Christmas, the birthdays, the, you know, singing in the car with your mom and vacations and whatever. It's hard to erase all of that, even knowing like what you did was very terrible. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that puts her in a hard place, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cause it's like one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, like she shouldn't trust her because of what she did. And like she lied to her whole life. But at the same time, she like still loves her because that's her mom. But yeah, weird spot to be in.
Now, it did say that she was reunited with her mom a day after she was found. But it doesn't say, like, if they, you know.
Right. If they're, like, close still or whatnot.
Yeah, I guess maybe they have to watch the doco or the movie to find out. But. So, I guess it says that she was entitled to $300,000.
Are you talking about Carlina or Nettie?
Mobley. Kamaya.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. So she did get some of that.
Well, it says that she was entitled to it. Now, how much did she really
get? Did she actually get? Right. So. Craziness. Movie life situation there.
Right. And doesn't say anything about any of the dads. So.
I wonder, like, how many people out there have been kidnapped that like when they were younger and they don't even know and they're just like still not even aware.
Oh, I know. I was just listening to it was an armchair expert. It was what was it? Something with parents. And one lady said that she did like she felt like she wasn't a part of the family like she should be. She felt off. She felt blah, blah, blah. So she did the 23andMe and got it back and coming to find out like she was right. Her mom was her mom, clearly, but her dad was not her dad. And then coming to find out she actually had like other siblings and like another one called in and it come to find out like she had a brother. Like it was so weird. I like how many people like do these tests and you find out like a bombshell, like I have a brother, I have a sister, this is not my dad. Like I did it and I couldn't imagine being like, wait, what?
I know, because you like expect it to be one thing and then if it comes out like completely like floodgates happen where all these people keep coming out. It's so weird.
I know. I'm just like, I'll have to see what, I wonder which one it was. It was an Armchair Anonymous. DNA testing. That'd be the one.
Oh, that would make sense.
So yeah, you should listen to that one too. It's crazy.
There's on my anonymous.
But there was one on the DNA testing where the guy donated his sperm. And then he like years later or whatever, he went back or like he did the, you know, 23andMe or whatever. And then he started like contacting like the kids. I didn't kind of agree with that.
Oh yeah, that's not his
like
place.
And then coming to find out he had like at the time, I don't know, all these kids. It was like the 40 kids or 30 kids or whatever it was. I can't remember the number. Some of them wanted nothing to do with them. They're like, dude, you're a donor. Like a couple of them did meet up and they had a conversation and they wanted to learn, you know, some of their genealogy and, you know, background, where they came from. And then one lady, they started dating somehow, I think. She was one of them that received the egg. And then when he wanted to meet their daughter, and then I think somehow like they started dating. So like this girl who's like now 17 or whatever she is, or found out about it. Now she's like, mom and dad are back together. Like, I don't know. It was so weird. Like,
that's weird. What the heck?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that I would be a little, I mean, I guess you could pick if you want to close or open, you would think.
Yeah. Because
if I couldn't have kids and I went to a donor to get it, and like if it was me and Pat, I'd want it to be closed. I don't think I'd want some guy in 20 years to be able to look up my kid and drop a bomb. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't want that either.
You know, especially like if we told him or if they didn't tell him, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Right. I think it's kind of weird just trying to find all the kids that your sperm created.
Yeah, because it's like, it's not like biologically it's yours, but like, it's not your place to, you know. Oh my gosh, it's crazy storming outside. That scared me.
It's not doing anything here.
It's going down so hard that like freaked me out. I was like, what is that noise? As I was like the middle of my sentence, I'm like,
it might be heading our way then.
It is like really windy.
I get like open adoptions, like, you know, after the age of 18, if they want to try to, you know, find me, have her, you know, she can contact me, blah, 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 you know, but that would be on the adopter's choice. Like, it's up to you when you tell your child that you adopted them. It's up to you to bring that to their lives. It's up to you, you know, if at a certain age you want to come find me, cool, but I'm not going to reach out and be like, oh, hey, did you tell her yet? No? Okay. Call in a couple of years. Like,
oh yeah. No, 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 no.
I don't know. It's kind of, it's sticky, I guess. But
yeah. Gosh.
Well,
yeah, it's crazy.
Thanks for the interesting stories. I'm glad though, this is a story where it was sad. Obviously people got robbed of their raising their children, but at least everybody was alive. Nobody was hurt. There was no bloodshed. There was no, you know, weapon infliction pain on people.
Right.
This was just shadiness.
Yeah, just shadiness with a touch of mental illness.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you guys for listening. And go watch that Lifetime movie. I'll probably watch it at some point.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then, yeah, hopefully soon. I'm going on a little mini vacay next week, so I'll have to get with KK on our recording days for next week.
Fun.
But we will, when I get back, we definitely got to get ready to plan for a simple favor, too.
I know. I'm so pumped.
Lisa, we might be joining us. She said, she said, maybe you guys should watch it first and then have me over so I don't pause it so much.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh my God, you're so funny.
She's so funny.
That cracked me up. So, all right. Well, I have teenagers downstairs. That's why I'm up here. Is two people. There's like three of them down there. Crazy. And two of them are mine, and I still didn't want to be down there.
You had to get away.
Yep. But I guess I'll go and check and make sure that life is just life in down there.
life is still life in. I feel that.
My daughter's got a boy over, so I got to do the, you know, once in a while walk the perimeter thing, you know?
Right. Check the area.
Yeah. Let them know, like, I'm upstairs. I'm not out of the house, bitches.
Right.
Hands above the blankets, hands above the blankets.
Yep. Yep. Got to check the blankets always.
And, but we'll be back next week. New story. And yeah, hopefully you'll join us.
I'll join you. Hopefully they join us too.
Right, right. Hey, we got some newcomers this week. Our numbers went up a little bit. So thank you, newcomers, and welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the creepies. Show. And creepies. What she said.
And what she said.
You never know what you're going to get.
100%.
Well, we got to go. Thank you for stopping by. On that note, stay awkward, stay creepy. We got to go. Bye.
Bye.